Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Tuesday night call. It is June 17th, the year 2014. Trying to get everybody up on the board here tonight. We've got people being a little slow getting on the board tonight. I don't know if they're having problems, but I did not have any problems getting on at all. And hopefully we'll have everybody with us here shortly. I'm looking to get everybody lined up. Hope everybody has had a good week. Let's see. I think we got Larry with us.
Hello, Dave.
Hey, good evening, Larry. How are you?
Really good. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Just trying to get everybody lined up here. Everybody's a little slow getting on here tonight for some reason. And I believe we have Miss Terry with us now. Hello,
I'm
Terry.
Here. Just walked
right
in the door.
Oh, yeah. All right. All we got to do is get the rest of the crew together, and we're going to have our Tuesday night open call. That's what
good.
We have
out
every
back,
other week, yeah.
In the front door and out the back door and into the pool.
All right. Well, there's Jesse.
I'm here.
There you go.
Sorry, everybody's... I was trying to make a cup of coffee, and Danny's talking to me. I said, oh, my God, it's 8 on the money. I got to get out of here.
Yeah. It's, tonight was the night for everybody to come stumbling in late like a,
oh,
like a bunch
man.
Of drunks
I don't know. It's
after
the summer
a
blues.
Friday night.
Yeah. It's the summer blues, man. I'm telling you, everybody's relaxing.
Yeah. Well, you know, aren't you glad I made it here on time?
Yeah.
Not yet, but I'm going to.
Yeah. Oh, man. All right. We got Jeff with us here.
Yes, indeed.
Hello, Mr. Jeff.
Hello.
What's up, Jeffrey?
Up here, the cost of gasoline. Jeez.
Buddy.
Yeah, really?
The commodities. Yeah, commodities set an all-time high. You seen that, Dave, right? On the meat and poultry?
No,
yeah.
Actually, I hadn't looked at that.
No?
I was focusing on some of the other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, it was all over the trading news today, man. Unbelievable. And they
well,
say the economy is getting better. Hell, our dollar's falling apart, and the
I was
economy
just
is right
say,
behind
is
it.
Does it mean that the meat's any better and everything? No, it just means that the dollars are worth less, and it takes more of them to buy the same amount.
That's right.
And
we just need that damn dinar to revalue, and we're all good.
I think it's only a matter of
I think I'll be all good.
Yeah, you're right. I think it's just a little bit of time, and we're good to go, man.
Yeah, the all the latest information out there appears to be headed in that direction. But then again, you know.
Good. Yeah, then again, who knows?
Well, exactly.
Exactly.
That's just it. When it happens, it happens. And nothing is, you know, nobody can run to the bank or do anything, take advantage of the situation until such time as
no.
it does. But when it does, that's going to
exactly.
be a rather interesting
no, and you know
phenomenon.
What? There's no better time for it to happen than the moment it does.
That's right.
Exactly. You're starting to sound like Jeff with those profound statements.
All right, are we recording
all
right.
Well,
already?
We're
all
we've,
mud.
Good. Yeah, we've got everybody but John with us right now, and I'll be scanning looking for him. So, Jesse, if you want to do a quick disclaimer here, and then we'll go to any good news. Anybody that has any good news, just hit the one key on your phone. That's for good news only at this point in time.
Yeah, guys, welcome back. Or let me say, I should say welcome back to myself. I want to thank all my moderators for covering for me when I was gone. I appreciate it. I do miss you guys. I think you guys know that already. I'm like a little kid. You're part of my family. So when I'm not around, it's for damn good reason. But anyway, guys, of course, as usual, welcome for those of you that are new to our open call. Tonight we're going to talk about a lot of legal situations. and a lot of legal information and have a lot of fun doing it. But, of course, none of this should be taken as legal advice because it's not intended to be legal advice. As Dave Mack always says, I wouldn't even know how to give legal advice. If you want legal advice, please go seek an attorney. Just make sure you're careful. That's all we ever say.
Not that right.
So with that, yeah, with that being said, we can move on with our call. As Dave said, good news first. Do not get in the queue, and I'm going to be the very first one with good news. I've got, and I sent out a copy of my $60,000 settlement check today. So that's done, and I settled for another $42,000 in TCPA, all TCPA, all within 3 months of filing. So if you don't think the system works, I think you really need to reevaluate what you're thinking, because it works. Not only does it works beyond all expectations for most people. And I'm not the only guy. I'm not special. Paul, we have several of our members that have cracked the six figures using our system. So if you're not a member, the only one you're hurting is yourself, because it can produce the cash flow. And Dave, I don't know a lot of people that make over 100 grand a year. They're just not there, but I know I'm one of them now, and that's good. I'll take it, all courtesy of the debt collectors.
Yeah, it's such a good feeling when the debt collectors buy stuff.
Damn,
I mean, it really
right.
is. You know, those of us that have experienced it, it is a wonderful feeling when FedEx comes to the door to deliver the checks, which is a lot of times the way it occurs, not always. But when you get to go and buy something either that you need or that you really want, that if it wasn't for the debt collector, you wouldn't be able to buy it. That's a real, real, really nice feeling.
There's something really good about it, isn't there?
Yeah. So, something really, really yeah. good about it.
Yes. I can't even explain it to you guys. But, yeah, for sure, as I say, listen, people's excuses, as I wrote through in the emails, as I can't afford it. And the reality is, guys, I guarantee you that more people waste money on junk and stuff that does no good for them than they do on things that actually do good for you. It's just the way it is. And you can always sign up with another friend. What's that double? You hearing an echo, David?
Every once in a while I hear a little something. I don't know who it
Me
is.
Too.
Whoever
Weird.
It is, quit it.
Yeah. You can absolutely sign up with a friend and split it. But if you're trying to go about this on your own and you're only getting pieces of the puzzle, it's very, very hard to figure out. And I can speak on behalf of just about everybody that's tried it. Would you not agree, Dave? It's not that easy
yep.
without the extra. Yeah, the specialized knowledge is what really cuts to the chase. You don't have to think about it too hard.
Yeah,
so,
yeah. Don't think
mind,
that.
Guys.
Yeah, don't think it's going to be something you can do in 5 minutes. You know, you read something for 5 minutes, 20 minutes, half hour, and it's like, oh wow, man, I can go out and make tens of thousands of dollars. No, it's going to take a little more effort than that. But where else can you make that kind of money for minimal effort of time and have something, the knowledge that you can take with you going forward, and having that knowledge, know that you can position yourself should certain things occur in the future, knowing that they're violations and know how to document things and how to go about making those people accountable and put money in your pocket as a result.
That's right. Absolutely. So, all right. So I'm done with my good news. Now.
All right. Well, the only good news I've got is I did get to file my fourth case against Midland last week, and I'm waiting for the paperwork from the small claims court, and I got proof of service of the third lawsuit to their registered agent a week ago last Friday. So I'm still waiting to hear and find out whether they decide to take that to federal court or not. But, you know, who knows?
Right.
Time will tell, but my phone still keeps ringing. My portfolio keeps calling me. I don't know why, but they keep calling me.
So they like
That's
you.
Their problem. Yeah, they like me, right? Okay, any of our other mods got any good news I want to bring up before we go out to the crowd?
Well, it's kind of good news, Dave. The FTC is setting up contests for hackers in order to set up honeypots to catch the telemarketers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Going after the telemarketers.
Good.
Like I said, remember what I said,
caller
Dave?
IDs and such?
Yeah, if you remember back, I said they're going to start eating each other. Now these agencies are actually out there doing what they've never done in a million years because they're out of money. Think about what's going on. Jeff has absolutely correct. They're doing it. I seen it on the news this morning on the site, and you're right, Jeff. It just they're just out of money. They got no other means of feeding themselves. So now they're starting to go after what they've never bothered to mess with.
As soon as they're broke, they start doing their job.
Yeah, funny enough. Funny enough, attorney generals are going after banks now. I mean, it's...
Interesting how that works, huh?
Oh,
The attorney generals are going after the CRAs, too.
Yes,
they are.
The CRAs, they're going after the big banks. For those of you that haven't heard, there's some class action lawsuits now that are in the... air, because not in the air, but in the making, they're filed by the attorney generals against these banks for, funny enough, overcharging their customers and putting forced place insurance on their mortgages. So, and we got a couple of class actions of our own. By the way, I got off the phone with us today on our roundtable, and I talked to George about the statements I was reading, and he's ready to rock and roll, man. He says, yep, let's file three more. So I got to get the three more. We got one class action file. We're working on three more class actions. And I'll post it up on the site for the members because this we can take across the nation. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. So
I'm real happy to see them go after Experian. They need TransUnion needs to be next for, you know, reporting people and causing them to be on the terrorist watch list.
Yeah, did you see that? Yep, that's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah.
They've also added Experian to that list.
That's what I said. They're going after Experian as far as the lawsuit, and they haven't gone after TransUnion yet. But that one case that we got had to do with TransUnion doing that.
Yeah.
What they're doing is cashing in on, you know, it's unconstitutional domestic terrorist list in the first place and selling a little byproduct to the users of the information out there, businesses that run credit reports, and they end up putting people on this terrorist list, which you cannot get off of just because your name is similar, and it's only your name. No,
yep.
It's not Social Security number or any other personal identifier. So if your name is Jim Jones or Bob Smith or something, and there's a Jim Jones or a Bob Smith legitimately on the list, well, too bad. There you are. Good luck.
Yeah.
People aren't able to get jobs, rent houses, buy anything, get a bank account, nothing.
Yeah. Not cool.
Not.
Not at all. Okay, Terry, we can hear your birds outside.
I will mute.
Okay. All right. Let's go to 360 for good news. This is good news only. 360, you've been unmuted.
Hi, this is Tim out in Washington. And I was on Terry's call the other night. I'm fighting a unlawful detainer, and they put in a order to show cause.
That's normal.
And this time, I actually objected to the attorney being there. But they wanted to move it out 3 weeks, and so we moved it out 3 weeks after I made all my objections. And in my answer to the order to show cause, I basically put, amongst many other things, that defendant objects to the show cause hearing as the court lacks subject matter jurisdiction. There's no witness in this case to testify to any alleged facts. As a reminder to the alleged counsel cannot testify to a single fact. So we were in a hallway after I got three more weeks, and the attorney says, well, apparently I have to go find a witness now. Well, yes, you do. So that was good.
Good job, but they're going to have a hell of a hard time. You keep pushing the way you're doing. I like what I'm hearing, and you're going
to
be in good shape
now. I have to tell you, on the when I objected to counsel being there, the judge had told me that that it is standard practice around there, or common.
Yeah,
practice.
That doesn't make it right.
So I actually filed a motion for clarification today, and telling the court I need to prepare my defense for this whole thing, and I need the court to tell me which rules and which statutes you refuse to enforce so that I can move forward.
Nice job,
I'm gonna have an answer.
Good.
Nice job. Like what I'm hearing.
You're sending a message.
Absolutely.
That is. I'm proud of you. That's fantastic, Bubba. Fantastic.
I'm holding them accountable to their job.
Yeah, I mean, it's our tax dollars. I got pulled over yesterday, and if I didn't shut my wife, I would have gotten a ticket. She was so damn mad. She don't put up that nonsense anymore. I've turned her into a vicious damn Wolverine, I'm telling you. And I knew I was going to get a brand new guy on a motorcycle, and I just passed him. He was slow getting on the damn expressway. I just passed his ass, and all of a sudden he catches right up to me. And he looks at me, and I look at him, and my truck's pretty tall. And he all of a sudden hits his brakes, Dave. I literally thought he was going to go over the bars. He hit his front brakes instead of his back brakes at 70 miles an hour.
Oh, dum-de-dum-dum.
Pulls up behind me and pulls me over. Turns on his lights. I'm laughing. He comes up to my wife's side of the truck. Says, I need your driver's license. I said, what's the problem? I don't need to give you any of that. And he looked at me like, holy crap, this guy stood up to me, you know. I'm like, what was the problem? He says, well, you were gaining on me, and I was doing 65. I says, no, I didn't gain on you. I passed you because you were damn going too slow. Well, you shouldn't have went around and jumped out. Listen, if you're going to give me a ticket, give me a ticket. If not, I got to go. It's that simple, man. I don't put up with that crap. He's a nice fella, and I told Danny, relax, he won't give us a ticket. He won't, because I have a clean, absolute, spotless record. And he sure as hell didn't come back, and he says, just take it a little slower, man. Promise me you'll go slower. I said, I wasn't speeding, man. You know, I mean, tell you, promise me you'll go faster. And he started laughing, you know. So I'm like you in a sense. I just, you know, right is right, wrong is wrong. So you got to hold them accountable. You absolutely got to hold them accountable and call them out on their BS immediately. Do not tolerate it. Because if you let them get away with it, the more people that let them get away with it, the more they want to do it. And you cannot allow
it
that.
It just emboldens them.
That's right. And this guy was a nice guy. He's just doing his job. I understand all that. But I wasn't going to put up with his lie. I wasn't doing nothing wrong. So give me a ticket and we'll see you in court. You know, I got no problem.
Well, I don't want the common practice. I want the legal practice.
There you go.
There you go. Yep.
Very good statement.
Yep. All right. That's your good news?
That's it.
All righty. Thanks very much. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to 770 for good news. You've been unmuted.
Hi, guys.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Hello.
This is Sherry.
Hi, Sherry.
Last week, my brother got served the amended foreclosure complaint in Washington State. They threw the paper. They came to his house at 10 p.m., and he said, it's too late, and handed the papers back to her. And what we're doing is writing a letter to the clerk of court and sending everything back because he has nothing to do with this mortgage and note. If you guys remember my case, it's my brother's house who is deceased, right? Anyway,
mm-hmm.
Last night somebody came to my door. I told my husband, do not answer the door, and he did. They wanted to know what his
name was.
I see.
He follows directions real well.
Yeah. As much as he hates me doing this, he didn't listen.
That's just a typical husband. That's the way we are. We're sorry. That we can do about it. That's out of our control.
You're hiding from. You're going to have to deal with it sooner or later. Just deal with it. So he says.
What time was it, though, that he came over last night?
They asked him for his name. And he said, what do you need my name for? I need to know who to serve these papers to. And then he asked if I was there, and he said yes. And so I came up, and he hands them to me. I said, what is this? I wasn't going to ask anything else because I know Florida service, rules for Florida service, right? Because I messed
right.
it up the first time because I didn't know and answered. He says, I don't know, something from Florida. I just have to give them to you. See, well, Now, Dave faxed me the papers. Now, this is really amazing stuff. Dave faxed me everything they sent him. I said, did they write anything on the papers? Just send me everything you got. He said, no, it was in a paper clip. What he did was they walked away. They walked, I mean, he closed the door, handed the papers back, closed the door, and they left him on the front porch. And when his daughter came in late, she handed it to him and said, here are the papers. So he calls me at 2 in the morning and says, guess what? I said, it's okay. It's fine. Well, I didn't look at the papers closely enough. I asked him to look at them. I look at the note, and the note is different than the note they sent me. The note doesn't have the endorsement with an unnamed payee on it.
That's right. You remember what I said? That's how I won my trial.
All right. So they served me the papers. They served me the papers, and now my brother passed away in 2008. This is his contract. It's now 2014. The statute of limitations is up, isn't it?
2006 years, yeah.
So now
sure
that they
is.
Have re-served this complaint, we can go with the statute of limitations, right?
Yeah, but remember...
I know Florida's something.
Well, it goes by filing, not service date.
That's right. You got to look back at, well, we're not supposed to be doing questions. So let me address that after good news. Yeah, but the good news is they're screwed, so it doesn't matter. I can tell you that so far.
Okay, yeah, I thought it was good news. So, yeah, I'll ask the
question. It is good news. Absolutely is good news.
Okay, we'll ask later. Okay, bye.
All right, thanks. All right. And
pretty cool.
And we're, yeah. Now we're going to go to all I've got is 1111111 on here. So if you've got good news for us, you've been unmuted. I'm hearing a bunch of kids make
Hello?
A noise or something.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. You got some good news for us. This is good news only.
Okay. Well. Well, I'm new, and I was listening to your the training videos, and it said find out who has your mortgage. And, I followed all the steps. It was a little bit hard, and I actually found out that Fannie Mae has my mortgage, my first mortgage. And then I don't know about the second one. It's B of A, and I haven't figured that out. And I'm just wondering... because my financial situation has changed, I've always been on time. I have really good credit. I have renters in there. And I was always suspicious of them because processors a bunch of times. And now it's city mortgage, and they were, like, harassing me to refinance. And I'm just wondering, is this good news? I mean, if that they're trying to harass me to finance or if it's Fannie Mae, it really doesn't matter.
I'm lost.
I don't know.
Do you understand?
Yeah, I'm lost.
I'm really lost.
I don't.
Welcome aboard, but I'm lost. I'm really sorry.
Yeah.
I feel like an idiot.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I thought I was supposed to find out who my who holds my
mortgage. If you've got a question, we're going to go to question and answer here shortly. This is just for people to bring us good news that they can tell us something good that's happened. So what we'll
I'm
do is I'll go ahead. I'm going to mute you now. We'll finish up our good news, and then you'll be in the queue, and we can come back around. And if you have a question, you can go ahead and ask it, okay? That's the way we do things.
Okay, thanks.
All righty, thank you.
Okay.
All right, somebody, one of us has got a echo behind it.
I think it was her, Dave.
I think so. Yeah. Okay, let's go to 3-2-1. Yeah, Larry is with us. Everybody's here, John, and everybody. 3-2-1.
I'm here. I'm just quiet.
Yeah, it seems like I haven't talked to you in forever. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Okay, 3-2-1. You've been unmuted for good news. Go ahead, please.
I'm sorry. This is James Jones. I didn't know you were doing good news. I just came online.
Okay.
Okay.
All
can
right.
Put me in the queue
we'll,
for later?
We'll mute you and come back to you.
Thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome. All right, here again, everybody. We are doing good news. 817 for good news. You've been unmuted.
It's me. It's Keisha.
Hi, Keisha.
But I was gonna tell you guys, you know, I had the credit thing going with Chase, and I had sent them an additional, like, 9 pools from my credit from different entities that they had. And so, you know, the lady that I had been speaking with, because they had already admitted to the violation of the initial one, and she was supposed to get back with me by Friday to let me know, because it would have been like 10 days since they've had the credit inquiries, and I hadn't heard anything. So I emailed her today, and I just said, you know, basically, I just would assume at this point, you know, that you guys can't find any proof that you've had permissible purpose to pull my credit report. And so, you know, the additional pulls that I sent. So, you know, hopefully we can just come to a settlement agreement with these. Otherwise, you know, I'll move forward with filing my lawsuit and get the courts involved. And so I'm waiting for a response from her, but I just thought that it was kind of funny all this time. You know, we've been kind of going back and forth, but I think now, since they're like, uh-oh, you know, here's basically 10 pools that we have, and they can't find anything. And they're, you know,
wow.
She started, you know, she basically stopped responding to me.
Right. That's pretty strong, 10 pools. Holy Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they've been from different entities, like J.P. Morgan, National Recovery. Then there was a Chase Bank N.A. Then there was a Chase Custom Finance. Like, I mean, it was crazy, like all different places, but still under the same, you know, with Chase. So
right. That's
what she was looking at for me, and said, well, she'll get back to me, you know, give her until the 13th. Well, it's, you know, came and gone, and she still hadn't gotten back to me yet.
Well, lean on them. Either pay up or just go ahead and file a lawsuit. Which way would you like it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't let them have a whole lot of time.
What I told her today. So if I don't have a response by tomorrow, I'm going to go ahead and just, you know, send up my lawsuit, because that's something that she said that they wanted to avoid, was going to court. But obviously, I think now, since they see it's a bigger figure, that they're probably trying to find something. Like, how can we get out
sure.
of this?
Right. Actions speak louder than words.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. All right. Well, go get them. All right. That's your news, Keisha?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. All right. We got a couple more here. This is good news only, everybody. This is good news only. We're going to go to 973 for good news. We are good news only yet. 973, you've been unmuted.
Sorry, I'm waiting for the question and answer.
Okay, all right.
No good news yet.
We'll come back. All right, we're going to go to 872 for good news only. 872, you've been unmuted. Hi there.
Hi. Getting a check for
$6,000.
Oh, nice.
Oh, I like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. It was FDCPA, and I had named 11 people in this attorney's office. It's in a foreclosure mill. And we ended up, after back and forth over the course of, you know, the same things, we ended up settling for $6,000. We signed the agreement, and the check is on its way now.
Very good.
Nice.
Cool, cool.
Very good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's awesome. Did you, you were able to get 11 people actually touched the foreclosure lawsuit, and you could involve them in some way?
Well, I had 1, 2, 3, 4, I had 6 of them for sure that had names on emails and or documents that were sent to me. The
Perfect.
Others I had named because I got documents from the entities with nobody's name on it. So in those instances, I went to the principals of the law firm and had them listed. But in any
you,
event,
you are my new
listed.
Hero. Boy, you did that right.
Yep, you
did
it right. Mm-hmm.
You know, if there's no name on it, it had to come from somebody, you know.
That is
right.
Exactly true.
But anyway, we ended up settling for 6. So cool. Thank you. And I owe it all to you guys.
Thank you. Don't forget to put a copy of the check on the forum.
I will. Thank you.
All right. Have a good night.
Thank you. That's super.
Hey, man.
All right.
Time our members are getting paid.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. And that's a nice chunk of change there, too. Let's go
damn
to
right
717 for good news.
Hey,
you've been unmuted.
Hey, Dave.
Yes.
Hey, Dave. How y'all doing?
Good.
Good. My good news is I kind of ran out of lawsuits to file, so I decided to help somebody that had a FDCPA violation, and I just got off the phone with them. That's why I'm late getting on the call. And she told me that she got an email today from the attorney offering her a $500 settlement right up front for a $1,000 FDCPA lawsuit.
There you go.
So.
Well, maybe you can negotiate it up a little closer to the grand and get some money in the pocket. Absolutely.
Yeah. She's definitely very happy, so.
Good.
And I'm
that's awesome.
Yeah. So it y'all keep up the great work, and it definitely works.
And thank you for paying it forward and helping somebody else too. That's the one thing that we ask of everybody. We spend our time helping. The only thing we ask is for you to pay this forward and help other people.
Definitely. Very welcome. Thank y'all very much, too.
All right. You bet. Thank you. And uh-huh. That's super. That's the kind of stuff we love to hear, everybody, because that's what makes this whole thing work. We got to get more and more people involved and more people educated. All right. That is all that we had. So for good news. Jesse, do you have any other comments before we go into Q&A and jump in head first?
No, we're working on some class action lawsuits that we discussed a little earlier on charges on statements, and I have the roundtable working on it. I'm going to put it onto the forum. I'm not going to go into a bunch of detail here, but I'm going to talk about it on the forum. We have one filed, and we got three that we're working on as of today. So I literally got off the phone with the roundtable, was on the phone with George, and it was instant. Yeah, let's get them done. Get them done, getting written up, so that way we can multitask, you know, using the same discovery over, because it's the same exact case, just different plaintiff or a different defendant. So pretty cool stuff. I can't wait. And it's going to help everybody. You know, once we get these filed, we can take it nationwide, which is awesome.
That rocks.
Yep.
It does, man. It absolutely rocks. I'm so damned excited, I can't stand it.
We can't hear your voice.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man, that's awesome, man.
Okay, let's go to Q&A. For all of you that haven't hit the one key, hit the one key now. If there's anybody that had good news, that only had good news, please hit the one key again to drop yourself out of the queue. Otherwise, we're just going to run right down the list here. We are going to go to 321 for good your question. You've been unmuted. Go ahead. 321, you've been unmuted for your question.
Thank you. This is James. I'm calling from
Hi, James.
Park. Yes, thank you. Hey, sir, I have just been notified from the bankruptcy court that the mortgage company is wanting to increase my bankruptcy payment up to three times starting like the next day without no warning. I have already been confirmed in January, and now they're wanting more money because the job has not been found. I did tell them I just started IT school because the employers wasn't hiring because of not having the skills yet, and I told them that, and I need about eight more weeks, and I'm wondering if there's anything I can do to stop this mess before it gets dismissed completely in about a month, I think.
I don't know if they can demand three times the money, but I've never heard of such a thing.
I know. My attorney said that they can ask for the current mortgage payment as it was before. It was, and that's what the three times is going to be. Plus, they can ask for all the back interest from all the fraud they have done through all those years. They could. They can do it at the time of confirmation, and I was confirmed at the end of January. But I was right in the middle of a mod, and we were turned down because our income still wasn't enough. And so everything was quiet for a while, and I was freaking figure out what's going on. I was being turned down by jobs because I don't have the skills now, and it was frustrating. So all of a sudden now I just got help with workforce, and I started school yesterday, and now, wow, things are looking good in about 8 weeks to get even a much better job in the IT area, which is very, very hot right now. So now,
well, I think if you could show that to the court, you'd probably be okay. That would be my guess.
I know. That's the only guess I'm thinking of. But I'm wondering if I know about the adversary thing, but I'm not sure if that is too late to even use that or not. The adversary proceeding that you were talking about before?
Yeah, you got to talk to your attorney about that one. I don't think those are grounds for adversarial proceedings.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't. I really don't. Otherwise, I'd tell you, you know. But no, I don't think you have the grounds for it, to be truthful with you.
Okay. Do you know any other way to stop these mortgage companies from taking these houses under fraud?
No, you don't want to go fraud, man. Whatever you do, don't go fraud.
Fraud
is a big, dirty word. Yeah, that's a big, dirty word. Don't do that.
I know. I tried doing a motion. I showed the... It was merged, it was securitized, and it was from the first company that definitely said in writing that they were defrauding the people. And the judges in Orange County just didn't care. They just want all these court cases to go away because they're just losing money.
Yeah, it's the same here in Florida.
No, I am in Florida, yeah. I'm in Winter Park, Florida. Seminole County.
Yeah. Oh, great.
So,
you're in the same. You're in the middle district. Yeah.
I tried everything.
Yeah. I mean, listen. Unless you know, you can show them and something's coming. You know, I don't know.
Well, if you could provide the documentation
of
how you started the courses, and you know how that would affect your income earning ability in a relatively short period of time, and 60 to 90 days where you'd be able to do that. Yeah.
Right.
And that's what I'm wondering. Otherwise, have you heard any successes about people saving their houses with using any type of fraud or anything like that anymore? Or
not fraud. I'm telling you, you're not going to – yeah, that word, you got to erase it out of your mind now. Just get it out of there and throw it away. Don't ever say it again. It's useless. Judges will not listen to the fraud. They just will not. And listen, we're right. Don't get me wrong. I'm not against you. I'm just saying don't even bring it up.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, I've won three trials right here in Central Florida. Two in Orange County, one in Osceola. I've won all my rental – or actually one in Hillsboro, one in Osceola, and one in Orange. And I never had to use the word fraud. There's enough screw-ups that you can just win your case. And all mine were over the statute of limitations.
Oh.
So now I'm on the offense of going after them. So I'm doing the opposite, you know. But I never use the word fraud because I know what happens when you say that to them judges. Their ears just close up.
Exactly. So you had to change. You had to go a different route then.
Well, I just use what they filed against them. I don't need to go that crazy. All you got to do is look at assignments, and you look at assignments, look at notes, look at the mortgages, look at this stuff. I mean, it's just like you said, it's fraud right on its face. But don't use the word fraud.
Yeah, so basically use case law. I do have case law.
Well, case law isn't going to be your savior. You got to find all the defects. You must not be a member.
I already know all this.
I am not a member.
You need to go join, because I said sitting on the sidelines, you're going to learn anything.
Okay.
So you need to really, really put some time and energy in there so you can understand all the deficiencies. They're pretty simple to understand once you get a hold of it.
Can any of this stuff be talked about to the attorneys during the bankruptcy, or this thing has to be happening after bankruptcy?
It can be during. It doesn't really matter, but I don't know how it would save you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
It's not. You need to learn all this stuff to go in after the bankruptcy. Why did you file bankruptcy to begin with? That's the real question. Was it just to stop the foreclosure?
Yeah. That's the only way. They wasn't listening to mods. They wasn't listening to the job problem. They wasn't listening to the motions. They wasn't listening to nothing. and knowing this was the only way to stop us, keep me in the house. I was right in the middle of my other school. I was getting my bachelor's degree in 2012, because that's what the employers told me I had to get, and I thought I was going to get a job shortly after that, because I had my bachelor's degree. I found out incorrect. They don't care about bachelor's degrees now.
Yeah.
They just want people with certificates now. It's like, shit, man. Spend all that dang money.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. So
I know.
We all got a shock. So I am trying to readjust. But now
you need to get into the website.
I will.
You need to
get
in there website.
And educate yourself. Right.
Okay. So educate myself on assignments and
you'll see. Just get in there. I promise you, you'll see. It'll jump right out at you, man.
Okay, man. Okay,
and if
you've
got any quick questions, there's calls on Monday and Wednesday nights as well.
Good. And what is this Sunday thing? About
Sunday? We don't do anything on Sundays.
We don't do anything on Sundays.
Someone's
I go fishing on Sundays.
Okay, someone's advertising. Someone's advertising a talk every Sunday.
No,
about
not
mortgage.
Us.
Yes. Okay.
Be careful with that kind of stuff.
Be
yeah.
careful of what you are listening to out there, please.
Okay.
Very
it's
careful.
Right on your side.
Okay.
To fix your mortgage
nope.
mess. Okay. Then
yep.
thank you very much for all your help.
All right. You're welcome.
Yeah. Bye-bye now.
All right.
I feel
let's
bad
go
for
to
guys
nine,
like that, man.
Yeah.
973. Wow.
Who has got all the knocking on the door?
Yeah.
Some music.
973.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. The question is, Charles, hurry up.
Yeah, can you get rid of that noise in the background there?
Here we go.
Thank you.
Okay. The question that we had, so we're in the process of a litigation with Santander Bank. And basically, it's a TCPA, and so they, we, you know, filed a complaint and everything like that. So then their reply to the complaint was, they asked the courts for a motion to stay. They feel like they need more time to answer the complaint. And the reason is because the FCC is in a process of amending, the law for the auto dialing, or maybe trying to clarify the.
Not.
Of it.
Well, that's not changing, so that's not going to matter. So that's not the reason, because that's not going to change.
Yeah, it's because
okay,
they're,
so how
they're
will
asking
we
for a stay
that?
Because of there's a petition before the FCC where they're trying to get a clarification for it.
Yeah.
That's what the
okay.
stay is about.
So how do we
sense?
Respond to that? We just say,
well,
okay.
You need to respond
and...
to it. You need, well, listen, let us answer. You need to respond by the fact that, listen, that there's a petition there. And that has no bearing on the calls you made when the petition wasn't there. That would only affect calls going forward.
Oh, okay.
Okay, logic. Comment. Remember, I say to you guys every week, there's more common sense here than anything. Don't worry about a legal mumbo-jumbo. What the hell does something you change tomorrow going forward have to do with the calls you made 6 months ago?
That's what I said.
Yeah, that's the same thing my husband was saying. And
yeah,
I just wanted
common sense. A lot of this is common sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Jesse, when do we produce the first evidence on this trial?
You don't need to worry about that yet. Right now, you're 26. You're in federal court, right?
Yes.
You guys do your 26F already and all that stuff?
Yes, we just did the we just spoke with the attorneys and they put the 26F through and then we put our input into it, and then she filed it with the courts.
Okay, fantastic. Well, then hurry up and get on with your discovery.
Now, with the discovery,
opposition to stay for the reasons we just talked about, get that filed, and then move forward on your discovery and everything else. Don't worry about it. Keep on trucking.
So with the discovery, what about the initial disclosure? Do we
you
do that?
That has nothing to do with discovery. Your initial disclosure is part of your 26F, initial disclosures, corporate disclosures, all the normal stuff that has to be done. That's all. It's not a big deal.
Okay, so we're just going to move on to discovery now. Okay.
Yeah, but make sure you get all your initial disclosures. Don't make the court start reminding you guys how to do it. Read your rules. Make sure you get this all by your timelines. Get that in there. They're simple. They take literally 5 minutes to put together. Get it in there and then move on. Start hammering on them.
Yeah, and there's information on the website about that.
That's right.
Okay.
Just make sure you're familiar with your local rules. I can't overemphasize that enough.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. Jim,
all right.
Good night.
Thank you.
Too.
All right. Let's go to 619 for your question. Good evening.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm in litigation with Bayview right now, and I was just curious because in doing my research online, I came across, it must be there, one of their internal manuals, and it's on the TampaBay.com, which is, I believe, your local newspaper in our Orlando area or somewhere, Tampa.
Yeah, Bayview's here.
It states right in this manual that Bayview owns the underlying credit for every loan that it services.
Yeah, what's wrong with that?
So my question is there any way that I can use this in my case to show that they're a debt collector and not a servicer?
Well, if they're collecting their own debt, they're not a debt collector. If they bought the debt while it was in default, then they're a debt collector. I have the right to service my own debt. It doesn't make me a debt collector.
But if you acquire it when it's in default status, then by law you are a debt collector and subject to the FDCPA. So you need to determine when did they acquire the alleged debt.
Mortgage and note.
Was it,
right.
Yeah. Was it after it was in default? If that's the situation, then they are a debt collector by law.
Okay. And how does it make a difference? Because I know that I'm in California, but the property that we're speaking about is in Texas, and I'm just suing them under the FDCPA and TCPA, you know, in California. So because I'm just going in under those, it'd be California, my Ninth Circuit, is what would
Well, that's where you would bring your action in your court there. Yeah, but that doesn't have anything to do with whether they are a debt collector, you know, whether they acquired it when it was in default or not. That doesn't matter where it is. That holds true for anywhere.
Right, but the Ninth Circuit is pretty strict, and a lot of my friends that have had cases here, they always come back, and the Ninth Circuit does not hold that the servicer is a debt collector.
I told you that the servicer. Didn't I just tell you that just because they're a servicer does not make them a debt collector? Didn't I just get done saying that? What makes you think that because they're servicing and collecting on their own debt, they're a debt collector?
Because if the loan is in default and I have no agreement with them.
That doesn't make them a debt collector. I'm entitled to go collect my own debt. A debt collector is somebody who collects a debt on behalf of others. So, we'll say it in clear, plain English. If they acquired your loan when it was in default,
yes,
then by definition, okay, see, we said that 5 minutes ago. Then by definition, they're a debt collector, and you got to point that out to the court.
Okay.
They acquired the debt such and such a date, and such a date, the debt was in default. Therefore, they fall within the definition of the FDCPA and the Rosenthal Act because you're in California. So you got to qualify them under both acts. But just because they're collecting their own debt, yeah, you got to remember that.
I'm sorry, you remember the website
at Bayview?
Yes.
The reason you have to look close at Bayview is because Bayview is owned by a hedge fund, and they actually have several different entities, and you have to look at which ones the correspondence is coming from, which one they're alleging actually owns the debt, because they have a Bayview Funding LLC. They have Bayview Servicing, which is the servicing company, which is a separate entity, and then they have a debt collection entity, too, that they use. They have one that's Bayview Default Services, and they don't consistently use the names correctly on the documents. That's why you have to send your debt validation letters and QWRs and really look at everything closely.
Well, everything is coming from Bayview Loan Servicing LLC, and they're claiming that the owner and the Benny is the trustee and the Benny is New York Mellon.
So it's owned by a trust. It's not even owned by Bayview.
Yeah.
Well, that my questioning as to how then in their own manuals and documents is stating that they own the underlying credit for every loan that it services, and that would tell me that that's a lie, that Mellon has nothing to do with it.
Because they're the investor in the trust.
Yeah.
They've bought the beneficial interest of the trust. They can be a beneficiary of the trust, and the trust still has a separate trustee. It gets pretty complicated, but it really is pretty simple.
Hmm.
Okay.
You get it? I don't want to confuse you anymore. So
yeah,
if you don't get it, re-ask.
A little confused. Okay.
When the property was securitized and it was put into a trust, the trust has beneficial interest that it can provide to the investors in the trust. So that beneficial interest can be assigned from party to party. And Bayview, it could be assigned to Bayview by paying a certain amount of money for that beneficial interest in the trust, which could be partial or it could be complete. It could be just for that one particular property that's held in the trust, or it could be for a group of properties. Typically, the trust will have, you know, a segment of it or a tranche that's defaulted, and they sell that defaulted part of the trust. That's why they've purchased it, because it was in default, and they pick it up for a song and a dance. And then they're no different when you listen to these calls than an asset acceptance or a Midland funding. It's the same game.
Yeah, they're debt buyers.
Right. And again, you have to look closely, because now when you tell us that it's in a trust, did the trust acquire the note or the mortgage? Which can it acquire? The note? Then what happened to the mortgage?
Yeah, so you got to get out there and you got to do your homework, looking at all the various entities and what controls they have on them, how they're regulated, so that you know what they can do and what they can't do. Yes, it's going to take some work on your part, but as far as the debt collection stuff goes, if they acquired it at the time that it was in default, they're a debt collector.
Right.
And
the trustee doesn't have the ability to. The trustee doesn't have the ability to foreclose because they don't have the beneficial interest. It's the party that has the beneficial interest that has the right to do that. If they've properly acquired the note and the mortgage, which they probably haven't with the trust. So.
Okay, does that answer your question?
Well, that's. Which leads me to the other question, which I mentioned, was if they're stating that the owner, the trustee, and the beneficiary is Mellon, I guess then I'm confused as to how they can be the servicer. If they're stating that they own all the credit for every loan that they service.
Well, you're doing this, they own the credit for every loan. You're just doing that out of a manual. That's not the documents they're sending you. Maybe they're not following their manual.
Well, they're not sending the document is the problem. They haven't validated or done it. They haven't sent me anything, and this has been going back and forth for 2 years. They sent me a copy of the note, and then everything else they've put is on their own letterhead. That's it.
Yeah, I wouldn't be stuck on that article too much, because you're going to discover most of what you need to find not through articles, but through discovery. So
okay. That's
really what you're going to, you know, I wouldn't, if you know that, that's just a nice little hidden gem for you. And if it shows up to be discovery, great. If not, you know, but there's nothing in the law that says I can't sue you in the name of another party. Remember that.
Okay. So my best thing then is to go on the website and just go through the discovery to work on that portion of it, correct?
Well, you have a suit, correct? You said you have an actual suit.
Yes.
Yeah, you need to serve them with discovery and ask them flat out in the admissions. Do you or does, you know, Bayview, whoever, LLC, whatever part they claim to be the ones that are owning it or don't own it or servicing or don't service, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Do they really, truly own it? Ask them straight up, yes or no. It's a simple question,
okay.
And they'll answer it. You know what I mean?
Okay. I will focus on that then. Thank you.
Yeah.
You've
got to get it through discovery. That's going to be your main avenue is
yep.
to the discovery process for sure, no doubt.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. We're going to go to 816. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, yeah, 816. Thought we had that. Come on. There we go. 816.
All right, wonderful. I got a couple questions. I'll try and keep them quick. Jesse, you said that you had some stuff going where you had two questions that the banks couldn't answer whenever you asked for these things in discovery. What were those two questions?
The first question was, which part of this complaint or what paragraph of the complaint is not true and why?
Okay.
Think about that. Which part of the complaint is untruthful?
Okay, so whatever.
And why?
When you made your complaint, that clarifies. When you made your complaint, that means that you asked which part of your complaint is not true. Okay, yeah, so...
Now, when I make my complaint... No, don't confuse this. I think you know what you just said, but I want to make sure for everybody else. I don't ask them my complaint. Their complaint, when they filed against me.
Oh, gotcha.
Right?
Okay,
so
well,
it's their complaint. And the reason we did that is, and always do that is, a lot of the complaints in Florida were lost note counts.
Gotcha.
And then they show up with a note. So if they amend the complaint and they show up with a note, then apparently it wasn't lost and you lied to the court.
Gotcha. Yeah, I can't use that then. What was the other
right?
one that you
Well, no. Why not? Why can't you use it?
Well, because
there's a lot of other things that are untruthful.
Well, I might be able to. I'm actually, it's kind of a long story and we're early in the call. I'm going to try and make it real quick. I told everybody, you weren't on the call last week with Terry. My mother passed
yeah.
away July 12th. There was a BOA. She lived in a modular home. The laws of Missouri changed. The modular home became real property. Became personal property under the new Missouri laws. And since the modular was never affixed with an affidavit of affixation, the real property became an abandoned vehicle without a title. So
gotcha.
That's kind of it in a nutshell. Seeing that I could sell the abandoned vehicle with the property, the banks had loaned $120,000 on a piece of ground that was worth about $35,000.
Oh, wow.
I didn't see any reason to pay for another 20 years on a piece of property I could never sell with an abandoned vehicle on it. So
absolutely.
Been fighting them ever since. Complaint that I used to stop the foreclosure was that they had failed to create the estate of my mother within 365 days. As debt collectors, they were barred on that action. Now, they have come back and said that this is not the case, that the Missouri revised statute that I had used did not pertain to mortgages. So now we're in the middle of discovery. At least I've stopped it from stealing the land.
Right.
I guess I got a couple quick questions on that. Can I change my complaint after discovery started?
Well, you can amend it by leaving court.
Okay. So that would be that question.
And again, I don't know Missouri law and your local rules. You know, everybody has a little bit different. So just always remember that, guys.
Okay. I had another deal where I was questioning the FDCPA and the CPA. Those could be combined on different lawsuits like Dave, you're doing the FDCPA and the CPCA.
TCPA, yeah.
Yes, sir, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you can bring both of those in the same suit.
Okay, but only one account per violation, which each call would be a violation if they did not identify themselves as debt collectors.
Well, that would be a violation of the FDCPA.
Right, the FDCPA.
Not TCPA. Right.
Yeah.
Right. They'll bring those in conjunction with each other on each call that they did not identify themselves.
Yeah,
each call is separate.
Yeah, if you want to be careful because I don't know if you're thinking in terms of filing a case for each phone call, thinking you can that way you can use it to stack up the FDCPA, they probably won't let you. They would combine things if you start doing very much of that, more than likely.
So
if I did two calls at 1500 and one FDCPA, that would be under the 5000. The reason I'm doing that is whenever they were calling me on the modular home, I had 43 phone calls. I want to use that as leverage for trying to save the, if I sue them for $150,000, you know, they can endure suing me for $120,000, I think maybe we could twist the arm a little bit. So
yeah, but you don't want to, what you just said makes no sense. What you want to try to do is sue them for the large amount, not one at a time.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah,
because if I have a suit for you for $3,000, what good is that?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, 43 phone calls on that one. I also have GreenTree. I kind of use your system there to allow them to set themselves up for 35 phone calls on another system. So I was thinking I'd use Dave's tactics on the 35 phone calls and then one lawsuit on the 43. Those are two different properties. I do look forward to someday, maybe next year, calling in and giving you the good news that I've got three of these things taken care of, too. So,
that'd be awesome, man, yeah.
But anyway, I've got that. Discovery, can I ask for the amount? Yeah. In Discovery, during the Discovery, can I ask for the amount that the debt collector has paid for the debt?
You can. You can ask whatever you want. It doesn't mean they're going to answer it.
Okay, so they're not obligated to answer that.
No, that's business. That's their business.
And Dave, you said that you had, I'm sorry, Jesse, you had said that you had sued MERS at one point.
No, I didn't. Larry sued MERS, not me.
Larry sued MERS. Where can I, is there anywhere to find the complaint and actually go through that and read that?
I wouldn't waste your time suing MERS. It's a bankruptcy remote corporation. I'm not getting anything out of it.
Right.
Yeah, there's no assets there to get.
Yeah.
I didn't want to.
And so much for making the questions very short.
Yeah. We got to be moving along with our questions tonight, everybody.
Right on,
we got to be short, sweet. We got a lot of people in the queue here.
Right on, guys. All right, I'm out. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
I ain't beating you up. It's just as funny.
Yeah.
I love it.
No, yeah, and I do want to remind everybody here, we got a lot of people in the queue, so please be concise, short, sweet, and to the point on your questions. Let's go to 207. We want to try and get as many people in as we can. Good evening.
Hi there. I'm losing the charger on my phone, so I'm walking down the street to go get the charger. I was talking to a friend, and she was a member, and I'm a member. I just ask you before I proceeded to do anything, and what I'm doing is I had a Bank of New York, and then MERS wrote an assignment a year into the foreclosure method, and the judge went ahead and changed that after the hearing, so I was going, and he awarded the foreclosure as well as the board of sale. And that was quite some time ago. And I appealed it to the Maine Supreme Court, which was unsuccessful. But I was thinking of going and filing a check of bankruptcy.
Well, if you go to bankruptcy, it's not going to do you much good other than stall the sale out. You know, you got to have a means. When you go, bankruptcy is used as a last resort, usually. I'm not saying all the time. I'm just saying usually to stop a sale, buy yourself
an extra 6 months to a year, okay? Because that's how long you can use bankruptcy for if you know how to do it right. But at the end of the day, is it your savior? No, you'll probably still lose your house. If you've already gone that far and you got to use bankruptcy to stop a sale, more than likely you're going to lose the house. You're too far gone. And that's the honest to God's truth.
So, I'm going to lose the house, I guess. And,
well, I don't know. I didn't say that. I'm just saying in your position, I don't know exactly what your position is. I'm just saying in general, if somebody has come in and they're having to file bankruptcy to stop a sale of a home, that means they lost in court.
Well, if the judge orders foreclosure and so we're writing another appeal.
Right.
If the judge just scribbled in there the assignment, the new assignment from MERS to Bank of New York, because what happened was when they filed a foreclosure, they didn't have standing, obviously, or they wouldn't have put that corrective assignment in the Register of Deeds.
Well, yeah, you can't bring a case hoping to get a case. You know, the old theory, cause of action, get a cause of action type of deal. And if you are going to appeal it, or did you appeal it already based on that, you ought to win.
I did appeal it, and I didn't win, and it's real clear with the scribbling of the ink, you know, it's handwritten, that we're going to file another appeal now. And at the same time, I was going to file a complaint for disbarment for the three attorneys bringing forth an action of fraudulent information to the courts and try and, you know, put a little extra.
So you lost your appeal? Is that what you said or no? I didn't quite get
it.
Did you lose the appeal?
Yes, I lost the appeal some time ago. And my problem is I have other properties. And so I'm on the coast of Maine here. One property a couple of 3 years ago, an elderly woman fell down the stairs. So I created an LLC, and I'm Maine Cottage Getaways. And I don't want them to come after my other properties. So I didn't know if I should do Chapter 7, Chapter 3. I don't know what to do.
Why would they come after your other properties, though?
For a neighboring house sold last year for, like, 4 months ago for $59,000. So I'm underwater. It would not sell. It's a difference of what is owed than a deficiency judgment. Is that what that's called?
Yeah.
We lost her completely. So.
Well, no, she said if the value is down, she's underwater, and they foreclosed, there could be a deficiency
judgment. Nobody wants
judgment.
It. Yeah. So, but your other properties are underwater, too. Nobody wants those. That's what I'm trying to get out.
No, my other property is fine. But one of them is in an LLC.
So they can't touch that one.
That has a lot of assets, a lot of equity. And then there's another one way up in the mountains.
Are they all paid for?
The one in the mountain is, but I have a small equity line on that. So I thought if I do a Chapter 7, that, you know, I could rent the house, make some extra money, and buy some time. But then
Chapter 7 is liquidation.
Yeah, you don't want to mess with the Chapter
7.
You stay
everything.
Away from that.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got to stay away from that. A 13, too, and if the problem is you can hold on to all your property with a 13. You can't with a Chapter 7. That's liquidation. And with a 13, you can give it away to, you know, retitle it into your son's name or friend's name or company name, and you don't have to talk about it because it's no longer in your name in a 13, see? So just remember that. 13 is the best option, and even an 11 is good, but the problem with an 11 is it's very pricey.
And, you know, I went and talked to lawyers, and they were like, we don't want to hear about the problems you had with the securitized mortgage, you know, from the Bank of New York mess. And
yeah. Well, that's
they don't want to work for the money.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, that property there, I mean, you know, again, I say this, and I don't mean this to be bad but or sound bad, but when somebody gets in that far, and they lose, there's very little options you have at that point. So it's almost better to go start some new fight and forget that one. And that's a fact.
But what do I do about that deficiency judgment?
Do you have one yet?
No, I don't have anything yet. It's like what was really wild, because I would go to court and the attorney wouldn't show up and the judge wouldn't dismiss it. It was almost like the attorney wanted to bail out of this because there's been a comedy of errors. There's been a lot of errors in this thing. And
yeah.
It was, you know, filing a foreclosure with the wrong party, wrong standing. And they said, well, in Maine, they do that substitution of parties. It's just a routine thing. I'm like, what?
Yeah. I don't know all the details of your case, but where you're at now, it's tough.
But if I went and did a 13, it would give me a little breathing room, right?
Yeah, but you got to get all that stuff moved out of your way, okay, if you know what I mean. It's got to be out of there. Just make sure you don't own any of it.
All right. Not the house that's in foreclosure, though.
Yeah, that one don't matter.
Mm-hmm. All right, I can do that.
Yeah, you need to get things moving.
Thank you guys for being there, because I know in the past I tried to get on and call, and I had technical trouble, and I apologize for that, but I'm so appreciative
well,
having someone to talk to.
Yeah.
Thank you
no
very
big
much.
Deal.
I'm going to do that. I'm going to file an appeal, and I'm going to do Chapter 13 tomorrow.
Cool. That'll work.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. All right.
Thank you. All right. We are going to go to 208. You have been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear
yep.
you loud and clear.
Okay.
Go ahead.
First question is, do you always sign a W-9 with each settlement?
Not I
always.
Do. I could care less. I don't care. They're not going to do anything with it anyway, so it's useless to me.
Yeah, I don't care either.
Sometimes.
But
yeah,
most of the time
they
don't even
require it. Yeah.
Yeah.
At the end of the month, I'm going to be joining, and will I have access to Terry's webinars that she's doing about the FCRA?
Of course.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I know you at the beginning you were saying, you know, sign up for it, da-da-da, so I wasn't sure if it was like if you got signed up for it, you had access or you don't.
No,
so
all
know,
of
you know,
the webinars that are done are all archived. Every webinar that's been done is archived for everybody to go back and watch and see it.
Okay.
Hundreds of them, so good luck.
Yeah.
And last question is about the FCRA 15-1681BA3A and permissible purposes.
Oh, God. Terry, do not jump all over this.
Step Capetta.
Yeah.
Just the basic is, I'm guessing, is that since it's a debt collector and I never had an account with them to start with, then they have no right to review or collect the review or collection of an account. Is that?
That's your story and you're sticking to it.
Well, is that somewhat accurate?
Well,
yes
are they
going
to claim that they're trying to collect an alleged debt from you?
Exactly.
Right.
No, he asked you a question. It's not a right. It's a yes
well,
or
yes,
no.
Well, yes, they are going to try and claim that they're claiming to collect a debt.
Okay. Well, that's an issue, but that's certainly never stopped me. I don't think it stopped any of us from either threatening or actually filing a lawsuit. The thing is that
yeah,
they've got to prove it, and they don't want to prove it.
They have to prove it. Remember that.
Did you say
okay.
you're not a member yet?
No.
Well, then get to be a member today, because tomorrow night I'm going to be going over all that.
Okay. All righty.
There you go, right from the horse's
not
mouth.
Night. Next Tuesday. I'm sorry. Next Tuesday.
Yeah.
Next Tuesday. Okay.
Right.
All right. Well, thank you. And keep up the good work.
All right.
All right.
Have a good
Thank
night.
You.
You too.
All right. We're going to go to 817. I don't know if that was Keisha, whether she had a question or not.
Yes.
You got a question for us?
I do. Okay, just a quick question. Jesse, earlier when we were talking at the end of the call, you were saying something about a dot stamp to show that, like, with the purchase of what they were buying. Like,
No. Dock stamps, anytime you transfer property, you got to pay dock stamps. So if you don't pay your dock stamps, you can't proceed with anything.
So that's D-O-C-K. I'm hearing that right, right? D-O-C-K?
D-O-C.
Yes.
A document stamp.
Document stamps, D-O-C.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like a
okay,
tax.
So they have to – okay, so it's like – okay. So they have to have that in order to prove that basically an assignment took place and that they
you
have –
You
got to
check
penalty.
Your laws in your state. Again, Keisha, I told you,
okay.
You guys have to check your laws in your state on the dock stamps.
Okay. That was just the first half. But then the second half of the question that I needed to ask was – you know that on the site, is on the MERS site, my mortgage says that its investor is Ginnie Mae. Well,
right.
I just got another thing in the mail. I know they keep sending me stuff, which is good, but on here on the letter it says, Wells is the servicer for my investor, which is Federal Housing Administration. Now, is Ginnie Mae a part of this FHA?
I have
or
no idea.
Say, okay, so that's
know.
What I was trying to figure out. Or should it say Ginnie Mae or, you know, I mean, I was thinking that they both, if this is right, that the investor should have been Ginnie Mae, but they're stating Federal Housing Administration.
Right. Well, Ginnie Mae, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, none of them own a single thing.
Okay.
Okay. Remember, everything is securitized.
I know, and then the problem that I had when I sent everything in is that they couldn't, you know, they couldn't find it, obviously.
You're not
going
to.
I think it's
overseas
because
investors.
It's on a Guinea. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think it's because it was a Guinea Mae, which is overseas. So
right.
I was just like, well, when I got this paper and I looked and I'm like, Federal Housing Administration, why is that different from what the MERS site was saying with Guinea? And could I actually, you know, I didn't want to catch myself up with using something in my complaint. Since I just got this one, but, you know, to show, and they said, well, they're the same, you know, they're in the same, like, family, because
right.
It's a
federal
loan.
Right, you've
done
your due diligence to determine that?
Well, I looked up Ginnie Mae, and it didn't have it on there, and I also called them and asked them, I talked to the guy, and I got his name and everything, to ask them about it, and he actually told me that they don't own anything.
Exactly.
just what Jesse just said.
Yes.
Did you ask them if they're part of FHA?
No, I just got this one today.
Okay.
This
you know what to do
him,
tomorrow.
So I'll call them and ask them again if they're part of that. But I just wanted to check to see if you guys knew. Okay,
yep,
but that's
do
it. That's all I got.
Okay, thank you, dear.
Uh-huh, thanks.
All right, let's go to 407. 407, you've been unmuted. Go ahead, please.
Hey there.
Hello.
How are you doing? How are you doing tonight?
Good.
Pretty good.
How are you
How
doing?
About you?
I am glad to be talking to you.
Hi, Velva.
How are you?
Yes.
I knew that was a familiar voice.
Of course.
Can't
we all
hide
that
accent.
We should know that voice anyway. That's right.
Yeah, really. I should know that.
When is Jesse going to start his series on the Bank of America?
Oh, everybody's waiting for that. That's going to probably be
I got a hearing coming up, and, you know, Florida courts don't care about any evidence or proof of anything, so I'm just trying to get prepared.
No, they do. You just have to stop it from getting into evidence.
Well, I'm just trying to pull all my ammo together, you know. Time is short.
What is the hearing for?
I don't really understand any of it. You know, it's just that the plaintiff is calling for, you know, the other attorney is calling for a hearing, and they've probably been forced to by the court because they haven't done anything since December. It's just been sitting there.
Oh,
well, there's some kind of a notice. It must have.
Well, they did send. They did actually. They sent this very short little notice that they and they sent another copy of a note from Countrywide that has my signature and nobody else's on it. You know, it's kind of lame.
The hearing is a hearing on what?
It doesn't really say. It doesn't really say that they're. It's really very vague, honestly.
It's
got to
be labeled something. It can't be just vague, Velvet.
Well,
It kind of is. It looks like I have a different attorney with the same firm, so I'm not sure if they really know what they're doing. But I'm just wanting it to get, you know, prepared. It's
difficult
to get
prepared if
no
you
idea.
Don't know what you're preparing.
Yeah.
How are you going to prepare for something you don't know?
Well, I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying, but
maybe you need
you
to
know,
call the clerk
kinda,
and say, look,
I kind of have to get my – I'm sorry?
I say maybe you need to call the clerk and say, I've got a notice of hearing here. What is this hearing for? What is this hearing about?
Well, that's an idea. I could do that.
Velva, what does the notice say?
I'd have to go get it, I guess. I didn't know you guys were going to ask me that, honestly.
Yeah. For everybody, when you're going to ask about things, have this paperwork in front of you. So if we ask questions about something, you've got the stuff handy. So, you know, because that's how we can possibly help you more.
Right. And you're exactly right. Let's see.
Well, here again, if you can't determine from what's written there, then I think you should call a clerk and say, look, I got this notice of hearing. What is this notice of hearing about? Hearing on what?
Well, we don't know yet because we don't know what the notice says.
Notice of filing original note is all it says. Notice of filing original note.
Well, it doesn't sound like a hearing to me.
Well, I've got a date in August, so it's got to be a hearing. Let me. I don't see where it says anything different. There were two different letters. One actually came from. It says return address, presiding judge, foreclosure division. I don't usually see that. Order setting non-jury trial.
Well, there you go.
So setting it for trial.
There's your answer right there.
Well, I just got to know what to do next. August 13th, the hearing, 9 a.m. hearing.
No, that's, yeah, that is...
9 a.m.
trial.
That's trial is the word here. That's a scary word.
Yes, trial. Yeah. Why? Isn't Marshall working with you? Don't you have some help from him?
Well, yeah, but, you know, we don't always agree on the same thing, and I want to have all my ammo ready. And,
right, well... Don't worry, he'll call me. You have no doubt.
Well, I do insist on that sometimes, but sometimes he doesn't listen to me. But I mean, we haven't really gone into anything about MERS. We haven't, gone into anything about deposing robo-signers or any of that kind of thing. And I'm just, you know, we need all our ammo, you know.
Well, that you got to get moving on it since it's June and trials in August.
You
need
you
to
about
start 60 get
days.
Off his butt and start setting up depositions and everything else need to happen. That's all.
Is there enough time for that?
Of course.
Yeah, if you get going now.
Well, that's what I needed to know.
You know,
I wasn't quite sure.
Yeah.
You know, we did the doc stamp strategy on the other. The other property, but it was a different, you know, it was completely different. It wasn't bank, you know, like a bank.
Right.
It was, you know, it was a trust, a securitized trust. You know, it was a bunch of investors who really have no clue what's going on. But this is different.
Okay.
You know?
Well, we got to keep moving with questions tonight because we've got a lot of people in the queue.
Okay. Don't worry about it. You just got to get on Marshall's behind. That's all.
I'll do that. Okay. Thanks.
All right, sweetheart.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you. All right, let's go to 909 for your question. Go ahead, you're unmuted. Hello, 909.
Hey, Sorry about that. I'm here now.
There you go.
Hey, quick question. Just heard about you guys. I've got an old debt. It's a small little $300 thing about a phone from my ex-wife. And these fools are calling me every day. I've told them, you know, they've got the right person, but it's not my debt. Is there anything that can be done about that, you know, to get these guys off my back or maybe win some type of settlement?
Are they calling you on a cell phone?
Every day they call me at least once a day on my cell phone, yes.
Okay. Have you been logging those calls?
What's that?
Have you been creating a diary and logging those calls?
No, have not.
All right. That's the first thing you need to do is start keeping track of those. Now, question, have you answered any of them? You have, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Is there somebody there immediately, I mean immediately when you answer the phone?
No.
Or is there like
a little
delay and then they come on?
Yes, there is a delay and then they come on, and most of the time they just hang right up for some reason. I don't know why.
Okay. Well, that they're using an auto dialer. And what you need to do is become a member of the website and study up and go through the TCPA takedown so that you can start learning about the TCPA, because you are getting violations with those calls to your cell phone. But in the short term, what you need to start doing is gathering any information. If you have records of those calls in your cell phone, get that information out of your cell phone, make a log, put it on paper, so if you flush the phone down the toilet or somebody steals it or something, you don't lose your evidence. Okay?
Okay.
Also, the ones that you have answered will be on your telephone bill, unless you've got something like a track phone or something where you don't get a monthly billing. But the big thing is you need to go to the website, you need to become a member and start studying up on the TCPA and go through the webinar series in there, the TCPA takedown, and educate yourself. But you are getting violations.
Okay.
I have a question for you, sir.
Yes.
Have you any idea how many times they've called you?
Oh, gosh, it's been going on for several months now. They call every day. It's every day.
About how many times?
I'm going to say, oh, gosh, at least 50, 60 times.
Dave, how much is that?
You're sitting on tens of thousands of dollars in damages that you can collect. Tens of thousands, not a few hundred.
Yeah,
tens
are you a member
thousands.
By any chance? Just curious.
No, I'm not. I heard about you through, I'm kind of, on a roundabout way, I beat a traffic ticket by using Mark Stevens' information.
Okay.
And I kind of heard about you guys through that. So.
Okay.
Right.
Well,
okay.
Listen, I personally just collected $60,000. I just sent an email out with a check so everybody can see the check and the letter from the attorney on phone calls just like yours, pal. No joke. It's real money. You've got to process it.
On 50, that's 50 calls, you're looking at a potential of $75,000.
Yeah.
Did you make that much last year?
Well, I did, but I'd like to make that again.
Yeah. Well, getting into the website, becoming a member, and studying up on the TCPA is the route that you need to take, is educating yourself. But in the short term, start documenting every single call and gather as much information as you have about the past calls.
Yeah. Okay, and then just a couple real quick follow-ups. What do I document? Just the time and the date and the phone number it came from?
Listen,
the
if
date,
you hit, hold on,
the
Dave.
Time.
Let me
yeah,
show
go
him
ahead.
Something. The start, I don't know what kind of phone you have, but generally look up the side of the phone you have, look it up online. And like my phone, I can hit the side button and the home button at the same time, and it takes a screenshot of the actual time, the phone number, and the date right then and there.
Gotcha.
So it saves it. If that's not the case, and what I used to do before I got this Samsung is I'd take a picture of the phone with another phone and email it to me. And I just kept documents. That way when I filed my lawsuit, I had all the pictures attached. It was a verified complaint. And then what does the picture do? It speaks for itself. There's your time, your date, and it's a cell phone, obviously. It's all in one.
Okay, so records from the phone company would work as well if it's the same phone number?
Yeah, but you're not going to get those. Good luck with that. Yeah,
well,
unless you subpoena them,
they
don't like
statements.
To give them.
Yeah, Jesse, his monthly statements on the ones that he answered will show up on there.
Yeah, if you answered them, absolutely it'll show up. If you didn't answer them, they won't show up.
Exactly.
Okay. They're still there. They just don't like to give them to you, these suckers.
Gotcha. And then the last quick question.
And just a slight additional note. Anything that you don't capture, you might be able to capture out of discovery.
Oh, yeah.
You might get more. You might get more out of discovery. That's the beautiful thing.
So
in
discovery, I can subpoena their records when they called me?
Yes.
Yeah, you don't have to subpoena anything. You just ask for them.
Yeah,
you
ask
for
them in discovery. Right.
And what they'll do is what they usually do, right, Dave, which is they give you more than they bargained for, and then you go, oh, I got to amend the complaint.
Yeah.
You have an extra 50 calls on here.
Yeah, maybe you documented 46 calls, and you do discovery on them, provide all the records, and they send you evidence of 90. So,
yeah, we had one guy.
Go
ahead, Dave.
Well, I was just going to say the main thing for you is being new, not entirely familiar, is to just be documenting as much stuff as you can now, as best you can, and start learning about the statute so you learn about all the stuff that we're telling you about in an organized fashion so that you know how to proceed with it and do something with it.
Okay, and that's on the website.
Absolutely, yep.
Okay, and then one last quick question. I just lost my train of thought. If they call from – now, lately they've been calling from the same number. It's a 909 number just like mine. But previously it was random. I mean, I would get a call from this area code, from that area code, the other area code.
That's not unusual. That's common.
Okay, very good. So I'll just start taking screenshots then. Now, I don't need to answer the call. You just screenshot of the phone number coming in?
If you just answer the call and hang up, that will put it on your – cell phone bill.
Gotcha.
And you're documenting the date and time of the call and the number and everything right there. And, you know, your phone monthly phone statements are definitely admissible as evidence.
Okay. And then I'm no stranger to the courtroom. I mean, I've been in a few times. I actually did pretty good with this traffic ticket. I'm driving without a license and speeding, so I beat it.
Yeah, but
anyway.
You're in the kangaroo courts, my friend. You're not in federal court.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah,
Ken,
true.
This is all. You were at the discotheque, man. This is a formal ballroom.
Gotcha.
It don't work that way. Yeah. These federal judges don't like to see.
What happened to Jesse? Jesse, we lost you. Every once in a while. The helicopters came and got him. Every once in a while, Jesse's out there. He can lose a signal every once in a while on because he's on a cell phone. But he'll be dialing back in.
Well, I'm sure they don't like to see people like me coming into court and winning these type of situations because it makes everybody look bad.
This is federal court, so you're not going to bring any of that baggage in with you.
Yeah, I've filed about 25 federal lawsuits, and I've never set foot in a courtroom. It's all done on paper.
Yeah, I've got more than Dave, and I've never seen a courtroom. So we're both there in the same boat.
Okay,
and we've settled
question.
Successfully on every one of them. So, I mean, it's not a kangaroo court. Like I said, you've been going to the discotheque, man.
Okay. So if I'm a quick study and I get on the site and I kind of devour everything, what are you looking at for settlement? Like a year, maybe 6 months?
I got $60,000 in about 90 days.
Oh wow!
I've gotten $10,000. I've gotten $10,000 in 6 days.
Oh my god!
And $13,000. How long, Dave? $13,000 was the other one. It wasn't very long either.
Oh, the $13,000. Because they screwed around with that. That took about 6 months of going back and forth. But it was because I was partially dealing with an attorney and on the other side of the world. And then they finally moved it to an attorney over here, and then we settled it. But it varies.
Gotcha.
The absolute record for the shortest period of time for a caller on this call is 4 hours.
Wow. So they know they're breaking the law. They just acquiesce and pay up.
Of course,
oh, yeah.
They know they're breaking laws. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yep. So with this type of information, you could actually help other people do this same thing and maybe, I mean, I didn't say this, but maybe collect a fee for something like that?
We don't collect fees. What we do.
We just ask people to pay it forward. Go find somebody else in your position and teach them how to do what you do.
I got you. Totally. That's what I was looking for.
Tell them to sign up to the site. Yeah, you tell them to sign up to the site. You help them get their feet going. And I'll tell you, our average membership is 18 months. What's that tell you?
Gotcha. Okay, guys, thank you so much. Really appreciate the information.
Yep.
All right. You're very welcome. All right, we are going to go to 770 for your question. Go ahead, please.
Is Keisha still on the line? I might have something that'll help her. This is Sherry.
What is it you were thinking?
Well, I have an FHA loan, and I have I've gone through securitization, researched everything about and almost all FHA loans go into a Ginnie Mae trust. And the lender that she has to be a certified Ginnie Mae issuer and a certified FHA issuer. And she can go on the site and look them up. Also, Ginnie Mae, I did a FOIA request through HUD, which is FHA, and got my certified documents through them. But both FHA, HUD, and Ginnie Mae say that everything goes to the servicer. They don't keep anything. They send it all to the servicer. That's their cop-out. So the FHA loans are almost always in a Ginnie Mae trust. The government backs it. It's the only one that is backed by the government or by us, the people. No, they don't own anything. But, you know, they're definitely warehouse lenders that buy these loans.
Right.
So I just thought that might help her. Okay, now, Jesse, tell me what I can do with this new situation with them serving me the complaint again, all over again.
Well, depending on the time that they serve it, you got to look at your rules. Like in Florida, we have certain times that they can serve. And if they left it or gave it to somebody at the house outside of those times, it's considered non-service.
Like 10 p.m. at night.
That's non-service. You can write an affidavit and go and look at the rules, and that's it. You show the rules, you write your affidavit, and it's non-service. Motion to dismiss for lack of proper service.
Okay, but we're trying to keep Dave out of court because, you know, I've been in court for 2 years and messed this all up by going down all the wrong rabbit holes, right?
Right.
We're not parties to this case, period. Have nothing to do with any of this. Now that they've served me again, wouldn't my brother's note... It's his note. He's deceased, so that contract ended the day he died.
Correct.
If it got paid, they were unjustly enriched if they got paid. It was just a gift, I guess, whatever.
Right.
But the thing is, we weren't responsible for it, so they can't hold us to a default. I mean, the courts even admitted
that
it's our default. So can we use the statute of limitations now that's been 6 years?
You can. But even better yet, if they're trying to collect a debt from you that you have no responsibility for, isn't that
right.
a violation of the FDCPA and the FCCPA here in Florida?
Well, FCCPA, no, because it's not, which I didn't think about at the time the judge dismissed it on my counterclaim because I'm not a resident of Florida.
FCCPA.
FCCPA.
Where does it say that you have to be a resident of the state of Florida?
Well, that just came to me tonight when I was listening to you guys. I go, I'm in Georgia court with my FDCPA case. I'm getting ready to serve it now. And, I mean, I got an extension. The judge let me extend time to serve it. I amended it, and I'm reserving it. And that was what my main question was. When I first filed it in court in November, the servicer, James B. Nutter, the debt collector, the attorney picked it up out of PACER immediately, sent me an email, said they were representing James B. Nutter, and they would waive service. Well, and we've talked about don't let them do it. Well, I've got 22 defendants. I want them to waive service because I'm trying to prepare my response to their motion to dismiss, and I need the extra time because they'll hit me all at once, obviously, right? So I need the extra time right now. So I don't care that they have the extra time. I really don't. But I don't understand how the waiver of service works. I mean, what do I personally have to do if they agree to waive service?
What do you mean, why would you waive service?
That means they get 60 days instead of 21 days to respond, which is fine with
yeah.
me. It's fine
yeah,
with
all
me.
All you do is you just put a notice to the court that they waive service, and that's it.
Okay, now, for the attorneys...
Nothing
that I'm
fancy,
having,
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know whether I had to... They said they were going to send it to me tomorrow, that they were going to send me their waiver of service tomorrow. They were going to
right.
write it. But the attorneys I haven't done yet. I haven't served them yet. I've asked them if they would waive service. I told them that I've just filed a federal complaint. Would they agree to waive service, you know, and to please let me know by tomorrow if they will or they won't, so I can serve it in time.
Right.
They have to pay for all the fees if they don't agree to waive service, but according to federal law, they're allowed 30 days, and that I don't have 30 days. It has to be filed by July 3rd. So unless they give me the waiver of service before the time I have to serve is up, I'm going to have to serve it, right?
Yeah, you got to serve it. That's right.
So I don't know you know how the attorneys have been.
I don't know why you're stressing so much over this. You sound so stressed over something that's no importance at all. Why are you so stressed over it?
I just...
Dave, are you sensing that from her? I don't usually sense that from you.
Of course.
You're like,
oh, yeah.
Of
course I am.
Over nothing. Either serve it or don't serve it. Get your waiver or don't get your waiver. That's it. End of story. This is nothing to even think 5 minutes about.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. I know Terry's on the phone, and I thought, well, she might know something about Georgia that I don't know about serving. Because I've been following Florida rules for 2 years.
Well, in Georgia, you can't serve by certified mail. It's got to be personal service. Georgia does put up with sewer service, unfortunately, but you can't
yeah,
do,
they do
certified mail.
But I can have somebody, somebody said they'd go to Tampa for me and serve it to the attorneys. And as long as they're not part of the case and over 18, they can do that, right?
Right, a disinterested third party.
Yeah, okay. No, but as far as this thing with my brother, he's sending the documents back to the clerk of court with a letter saying, I have no idea why you're sending this to me, blah, blah, blah. I'm not on this note and mortgage. I don't know, you know, what this is about, because I should have done that in the beginning, because as other people have told me, you're not even the right party to defend the case. Not only are they not the right party because they're debt collectors, but I'm not even the right party to be bringing into court.
Right.
And they can't do it in rem because I'm out of state. They have to do it in personam. And they're asking for money, which they've already admitted I don't owe them. So I'm like, you know, they've made such a mess of this. You know, that's why I'm so confused, Jesse. Because
yeah.
the attorneys don't know
no,
what
you
they're
sound stressed. It's not confused. You don't sound confused. You sound stressed, like you're... You're a lot of anguish over this.
No, I'm just so much, you know, all at once to try and take care of and to try and do it right. I mean, I've messed this up for 2 years and I'm still in there. It's like I have another opportunity to fix it.
Yeah. The thing that
right.
concerns me with what you've said so far is that you're suing 22 people. Do
yep,
you
they're
have
all in the
any
firm.
Idea how much you're biting off? By suing 22 people?
Yeah, I
yeah,
had to do it because of statute of limitations. Or so
but
I thought.
If you think you're stressed now, you wait till you have to deal with 22 defendants on a lawsuit. You ain't seen nothing yet.
It'll be the same frickin' answer for all of them. They're going to do a 12B6 like they all do.
Okay,
and I'll
but
be
if
doing
they,
my
if pro-B
12B6 response, huh?
Yeah, but if let's say several of them get combined, but you get 15 different 12B6 motions, and you have to answer 12 or, you know, 15 12B6 motions, how much paperwork is that? And that's just the beginning.
Well, see, that's why I'm working on it now. That's why I want the extra 60 days, because I'm working on my response.
No, you're just not grasping what I'm telling you.
I know what I've done, Dave, and everybody, I had six, and then I amended it because I wanted them all included, and...
Yeah, but I think you may have gone way overboard. You maybe it would have been better to have picked certain specific people and left it at that, because you could absolutely drown in paperwork and costs for sending notices and stuff like that. Literally. I'm not kidding you. Downfall in it.
That's right. Remember, Dave, what I said earlier to Keisha? Why sue all the people? If you're suing everybody in the firm, just pick one or two. It doesn't matter. Your result's going to be the same. It's irrelevant.
Yeah, you just have to think in terms. I don't think you really, really thought out how much potential paperwork you could have. Maybe you made the assumption that there's going to be one attorney that answers for all of them, and you're only going to have to do one piece of paperwork for 22 defendants. A shot in the dark, you might get lucky on that, but chances are, no. See, it's an unknown. I'm just fearful of what you may have coming at you. You could have a freight train coming at you with way too many cars on it. So.
Well, it's a little late now. I'll have to deal with it when it happens.
Yeah. You got to deal with it. Nothing you can do.
Yep.
And it's and I have the feeling because there's so many, that there's a felony involved now, so many violations that I don't think they're going to want to get a whole, 17 different attorneys to represent them either.
I don't know. I don't know. But anyway, we got to keep moving here. Have we answered your question for you? Because we still got a bunch of people.
What do I do about this as far as me responding to this new amended complaint?
You have to respond to it.
No,
what
do
you do about it?
Well, improper service, first of all. But see, I have already answered this amended complaint. It's in the court, and they've responded to my answer, so this makes no sense to me. Now
if you responded to it, you waive service on it. Simple as that.
Did what now?
If you responded to it, you waived service.
But now they've served it again.
Why?
Are you sure it's exactly the same one?
You better check it out.
Yes, I have. Yeah. I have gone over Dave's and I've gone over mine. It's exactly the same one, except they put two different notes in ours. Two completely different notes.
I'm not talking about your brothers. I'm talking, you say that you are being served exactly the same complaint that you've already been served on. You have looked at it word for word. Everything on every page is precisely the same.
Yes. I looked at Dave's, looked at mine, compared it to the first one they gave me, had somebody else go over it with me. Yes. Exactly the same thing.
I've never seen such a thing like that. So.
Well, they tried to serve it right after I answered, and but the judge never signed the order. He waited 5 months to sign the order. So the judge, they wouldn't serve the summons to serve the amended complaint.
Right.
And somebody told me they had to do it because of the in personam. They're changing it from in rem to in personam. They changed the caption. Who they're serving on the amended complaint, but that's they didn't change it in what they just mailed me to serve me. But
well, that's what I was just asking you.
No, it's not the same as the original. They amended the complaint. The amended complaint is the same that they filed in October as the one they just served me, and the one they gave my brother. We went through those, so the amended complaints are all the same. But the reason they had to serve it, somebody said, according to Florida rules, is they wouldn't be able to get a default or something. So I have no clue. I haven't found anything in the rules that say you have to serve an amended complaint.
Well, to play on the safe side, if they've served it to you, you've already answered it. Just taken, if you believe your answer that you answered the last time was sufficient, then put it in again. That's a CYA, so that you don't get caught by not answering. Right, Jesse?
Yeah, I agree.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Well, there's
your
answer.
All right.
All right, thank you.
Bye.
Okay, let's go to 401. You have been unmuted.
Hello, thank you. A couple quick questions for you.
Okay.
I recently went over the 90-day past due on a few credit accounts, and I've just started to become bombarded with the call.
The moneymakers.
Yeah, aren't you lucky?
Amex sold. I had two cards with Amex. One of them went to Nationwide Credit. The other went to... The name escapes me right now. United Recovery.
United Recovery? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Have you sent validation letters?
I did. I just got them out today.
Okay. Good.
It's only been about 4 days since I've been getting calls. I was surprised that it happened after 90 days. Because the balance...
You never know when it's going to happen. Yeah.
I'm sorry?
You never know when it's going to happen. You just got to, you know, don't get involved in, oh, well, this should happen this time and that should happen that. Just deal with it as things happen.
Yeah. For some reason, I was under the impression that it would likely go or stay in-house with Amex just because of the balance.
No, that's why I say you're trying to deal with preconceived notions. Don't do that. Just deal with what comes down the pike. Document calls, send your validation letters.
Yeah,
go ahead, Larry.
So I did get those out certified today. So now I know I'm just going to be receiving the calls and logging the calls and, you know, playing it as it goes along. But I had a question about the cell phones. When they call cell phones, when they call my house number, it actually rings all of my phones. It rings my cell phone, my work phone, and my home phone. It's a Google Voice number. Can I claim, if I advise them that by calling that number, they're in fact calling my cell phone and my landline, would that
sort
of qualify it
as a
violation of a cell phone call?
No, they're not calling your cell phone. You're forwarding that to your cell phone. They're not calling your cell phone.
Right, but what I did was I have their calls go straight to a voicemail box. It doesn't even actually ring the home phone anymore. It just goes right into voicemail.
Yeah.
And the message states that I want them to stop calling the number and that it does myself.
Again, it doesn't matter. I already answered your question. You just keep going on and on around why. It either they call your phone number directly or they don't. It's that simple. If they call my home and it's forwarded to my cell, they didn't call my cell.
Okay.
I made it go to myself.
In any event, I can elect that I don't want them calling my home number either.
Of course. You have to put it in writing. You don't have to put it in writing. There's some case history last year that says verbal is good enough, but I will always put it in writing. Don't call this number anymore, please. Communicate via email or via U.S. mail only. End of story.
Right. And send it certified so you have a record of their receipt.
That's right. Now, you said everything hit, you know, it's hit the fan. And they're calling
yeah,
you. But did they give you anything in writing within the first 5 days after the first call?
I did get what appeared to be a bill. It looked like any utility bill or any other bill I would get from the first agency. That was Nationwide Credit.
Was that?
But
was that within 5 business days of the phone call?
I think it arrived around a week or 5 days to a week after the first call did.
Yeah, they have
well,
to send
five
it
business
within
days.
5 days.
Yeah. It's got to be dated within 5 days of that, so.
Yeah, it was pretty quick after. I think it would be nitpicking if I tried to say it was a day late or.
Well, you need to start paying attention to those kind of details. Because that's what's going to make the difference when it comes to legal issues. Legal issues are all detail. So,
okay.
You know, when you get letters like that, whatever you do, make sure you save the envelopes because that shows the postmark. They can, you know, they can say they sent it on the 10th, but if the postmark is the 19th, They obviously didn't send it on the 10th, did they?
Right, understood, right.
And if you throw the envelope away, you lose that evidence, do you not?
Yes, correct. I would.
Right. See how details are important?
And do not mark on anything.
Right.
No, I'm clear on that. Yeah, I've been listening to these calls for the last couple months. I've been a member for a few months.
Okay, good.
Have you sent your dispute letter yet?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, those I mailed out today. Debt validation.
Okay. Yep. Yeah. All right. Well, you're doing what you need to do.
Yeah, all right. You're on the right track anyway.
Thanks, guys, very much. Appreciate it.
All right. You're very welcome. All right. Let's see if we can get a couple more in here real quick. We got about 5 minutes here. Let's go to 810. You have been unmuted. Go ahead.
Hi. How you doing?
Doing good.
Can you hear me good?
Yep, we can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, okay, great. I went to court on Friday, and this lawyer, it was on a case that, I didn't really think they had a case or anything, but the lawyer in the beginning of this matter tried collecting a debt from me, you know, and I told him to stop, and he kept sending me notices and stuff, so I was sending him invoice, you know. He switched the court case from, you know, like collecting a debt to a breach of contract thing. Well, we ended up going to court, and I kind of got railroaded. So you guys might actually already answer my question about I'm still, like, suing the lawyer for all those violations that he did. And he's done a lot of stuff. I, like, gave him notice on the phone, don't come to my house, you know, because he started – he didn't have a claim, period. And – I wasn't going to let him have one, and he kept trying to just kind of come in with all this other stuff. We went into court, man. The judge just, like, railroaded me. Okay, judgment for the plaintiff. I'm like, no way. There was no possible way. But that's not my concern. I'm suing him, actually, for trying to collect on a debt and all his violations. And I also put in there some trespassing violations and things. And I was just wondering, taking him to court, I would end up taking him to federal court then, right?
Well, first of all,
we don't know.
Trespassing.
Yeah.
Trespassing, you can't bring any action. That's a criminal offense. There's no private right of action on that. If you've got violations on FDCPA or TCPA or something like that, we would normally bring that in federal. But I want to caution you on that other stuff. That you have no private right of action on that.
Yeah, you got to file a police report for that.
Okay, I got it. Okay, I just wasn't sure about that because I've been kind of, like, wondering how I'm going to approach it, you know. I'll just use the violations that he did because that's pretty right there, plain and simple, you know. He kept trying to contact after he was told to cease and desist, and he just kept doing it. So those ones are, and I got record of all that stuff and all my letters and everything. I filed it with the court. But they didn't look at any of that stuff, man. They just kind of just bulldozed me, man. But it's okay. I'm just going to move forward.
You were bringing the wrong issue into court.
That's right. That's why they railroaded you, because you didn't have anything there that was an affirmative defense. You think it's an affirmative, but it's not. So, you have a cause of action. The cause of action is not an affirmative defense.
Well, the thing was, once they moved it, like, there was no contract. I never even entered into anything with these people, anything. I didn't, there was no way. I had a private contract with another entity, another company, and this lawyer came in. So I was addressing pretty much, like, what are you doing coming into a private claim? So when I went into court, that was my stance was they don't have any standing. I told the court, this guy can't even speak to me right now. But it didn't matter. And maybe I brought
the wrong thing in,
but I felt like it was the right thing for me at the time because I don't know this guy. And I was dealing with somebody privately, and I had him defaulted already. So why are you even bringing this guy in here? I told him to back off a long time ago, and he already owes me $1,000 for not. And then they ended up switching the court from them taking me to court. They ended up moving it to, like, a breach of contract. It was the weirdest thing. And the court let them do it.
Well, you know why? Because you're going through the administrative process. I already hear it. And that's a bunch of waste of nothing but time and energy. As you are now living proof.
So now you're living proof for all you listeners out there. You can default, you do whatever you want. The court doesn't even know you exist and can care less. So, Dave,
yeah,
959, let's finish it up.
No, because I even addressed, I was sending the judge stuff privately. So when I got into court, I'm like, hey, man.
And you can't do that. See.
Yeah.
You can't do that either.
Yeah, you can't do that. So, unfortunately, you were making a bunch of errors there. So.
Yeah, but I'm glad
my only question is on that, why can't we go in, if they don't have something, why can't I question these people? I know it may be wrong in their
eyes.
You're
doing it the wrong way. But listen, you're rambling on. You can. We do it all the time. Just do it the right way.
Yeah, I guess I'm trying to figure out the right way. You know, but
go to our website, join, and it's right there for you. Every damn step. It's all right there for you.
All right,
Dave. Let's wrap it up, buddy. 10 o'clock.
All right.
Boon.
Okay.
I love to hear
it
that
is,
stuff, man. I love it.
Yeah, it is time to call it a night for tonight. Thanks to everybody that joined us tonight. And, of course, on Wednesday afternoons, there's always a webinar at 3 o'clock Eastern with very, very few exceptions. And tomorrow, Larry is going to be doing case studies. So if you've got questions on all of this kind of stuff that we've been talking about tonight, that's the subject matter that Larry can help you with tomorrow. Obviously, you have to be a member to be on the webinar. So again, 3 o'clock tomorrow. Then tomorrow night is Terry's call. That starts at 8 o'clock Eastern. If you are not on Terry's email list, send an email tonight, right away, to queensongbird@gmail.com. Just simply say, I'd like to be on the list. She'll get you on there and send the reminders to you, and that way you'll get all the documents and everything else that she sends out regularly with her call. Then, of course, on next Monday, there's Dallas Death Discussion. That is still on TalkShoe.com. The pin for that is 54318, and that starts at 9 o'clock Eastern and goes until we get done with things. Then, of course, next Tuesday night is going to be the next installment of What Lies in Your Credit Report. And Terry, can you give us a real very few seconds synopsis of what you're going to cover?
Yes, we're going to cover what they have that you want and why and how to get it and how to interpret it.
There you go. So you won't want to miss that. If you're not a member, get in there, become a member by next Tuesday night. All of the preceding episodes, just like every webinar that's ever been done, is all archived on the site. So even if you're coming in the middle of things, you can go back, you can learn from this, and then you can go back and start at the beginning and get the total foundation. So there's lots of stuff here. Again, as we always remind everybody, use the forum. That's where you can get answers quicker. It also builds a library of information for those people that come behind you, and we have new people joining all the time. There's literally thousands upon thousands of questions and answers that are in there on all the various subjects. You can go in there and see about making contact with other people in your area. There's sample pleadings. There's just a ton of stuff. So these calls aren't a substitute for being a member. So I think that's it, Jesse.
Yeah, that's it, guys. I appreciate you all joining. We have a lot of new people on the call tonight, so welcome aboard. We actually have some new members. Again, welcome aboard. And like Dave said, it's not a substitute for not being a member. All you're doing is hurting yourself trying to go about this. As you heard this last gentleman, I love it. Listen, I feel bad for him, but same side of the coin, we've been preaching the same stuff for almost 4 years. Stay away from all that nonsense. It doesn't work. Well, we have worked. We show you the proof. We have the proof. It's out there at least 2 or 3 days a week we send proof out. So we're there to substantiate what we say and what we do. So anyway, that being said, God bless everybody. Have a great week. And we will talk to you tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Have a good night. Thanks to all the moderators again. Can't do it without you guys.
Good night.
Have a good night, guys.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.